Everybody could be the hero of their journey.
I'm not really sure if I want to be a supervillain.
Reese Witherspoon came in, and Snoop Dogg and Eminem.
Bitcoiners are territorial.
It's not our world anymore. We will have our Avengers moment.
Welcome to NFT Steez, a weekly podcast that delves into NFTs, culture, crypto, and all things Web3. I'm Ray, head of markets at Cointelegraph, and my co-host, Alyssa Exposito, is a freelance writer in all things blockchain, Web3, and NFTs. Each week, we bring on the brightest minds and the busiest builders to discuss the evolution of crypto, art, and new trends emerging in the Web3 space.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome, welcome. We're here to have like a great conversation with Garab from Kumite and to speak all things community heroes and lore.
Thank you. Excited to be here with you guys.
Garab Sheamus. This guy is a god in the comic book world. He's a serial entrepreneur, a visionary, a cultural catalyst. He's influenced over a billion people through his businesses, communities, and relationships in the superhero and character franchise worlds. He's the founder and publisher of Wizard Magazine, where he created the comic book industry's most influential voice and a spot to just get information and alpha. He grew Comic-Con from a niche fan event into a global cultural phenomenon. And in 2021, Garab launched Hero Maker Studios, which is a Web3 company. It's producing a mobile-first NFT comic book ecosystem, basically connects creators with fans and collectors.
Cool. Thank you for that amazing intro.
What have you been up to lately? How's life?
Life is pretty incredible, actually. You know, now that we got our first drop done with Kumite, our first NFT drop, it feels like we're like ready to get going building this world out in a way that, you know, we can uniquely do based on all of the things that we've been able to accomplish past and bring, you know, this exciting, what I think is the future of Web3 to the fan communities all over the world. So for me, after this drop, and now that people have been able to see the NFTs that we've created, it's so exciting for it to be released in the world. So for me, it's just a great moment.
Yeah, I like the artwork. I think it's really unique. It's somewhat reminiscent of Cyber Brokers because the PFPs are full body. I like the diversity of all the different like heroes, villains, and characterization and unique traits of the project. And I like that the artwork is, it has like a pencil and paper feel to it. So just from an aesthetics point of view, you know, I'm a fan of the project. I was able to mint one pretty early, thanks to Alyssa. But talk to me about like a little bit about your journey from comics to publishing to Comic-Con to co-founding and producing IFL MMA competitions to now building Kumite. Because to me, it sounds like all of these experiences have kind of had a cumulative impact on the core components of the Kumite project.
Yeah, you know, it's actually interesting that you say that, because I actually do believe that everything I've done in my life have led to this moment. My whole life has been, you know, centered around creating content and engaging people through storytelling and also building massive global communities. And Web3 is that combination of the two. You know, I started out, but just like most kids, reading comic books and collecting sports cards, it just so happens that I have three brothers that we got really into it, that my mom opened up a comic book and sports card shop when I was a kid. And it was just such a magical childhood because it was like literally having a candy store in the family. And then when I graduated college, I started a newsletter about comic books, which I ultimately turned into Wizard Magazine. It was really about just creating a voice that I could share with my friends about all the things that we were excited about. And like, that's literally what the magazine was about, that if I had best friends out there, what I would want to tell them that I discovered. And when we struck that voice and that chord, Wizard just took off. Like within about a year, we went from selling 25,000 copies to hundreds of thousands of copies, that by the mid-1990s, we were doing about 400,000 copies in English around the world in 75 countries, and decided to start literally have a party for the magazines and called it Comic-Con, and 20,000 people showed up. And it was just this also this kind of magical moment where all these disenfranchised people got together and really were united around something that they loved. And what they loved at the time was not popular. You know, it was just to be a geek or a nerd back in those days was literally like, you know, you may have caught a disease or something. From that point on, you know, just had the total bug, started magazines about trading card games and Japanese animation and action figures, and kind of built that into a, you know, pretty large business. And then the Comic-Con business took off, produced 180 Comic-Cons with my brother, reached probably sold over 5 million tickets, but more importantly, reached billions of people around the world and just made it fun to be a fan of culture. And, you know, that kind of impact has just been incredible.
Yeah. So I listened to your Alan Olson interview on American Dreams, where you talked about, you know, comic book lovers and superhero lovers kind of being disenfranchised in the early 90s. But of course, now it's all the rage. The industry and the amount of, you know, sponsored gear and cereal boxes, toys, video games, everything that's built up around DC, Marvel, comics in general, graphic novels, spinoff series, you know, it's just a massive, huge ecosystem now. If you go on Netflix, you can find just like derivatives of different shows that you might have watched as a kid. I mean, even the whole like Masters of the Universe is out, came out like in the last year, and that was incredible. So comics are all the rage. It's big industry now, which makes me wonder about what you were saying about disenfranchisement, agency, and opportunity. So tell me about how you feel Kumite and comic book NFTs generally could have the impact of giving fans and creators agency and possibly opening up new opportunities for them.
Yeah, so the reason that superheroes have gotten so global in nature is storytelling. You can't just do it because it's a pretty picture or there's something else about it. I mean, it literally is the storytelling that takes people on this hero's journey, that people can see themselves in there. And that's what did it. And NFTs, in my opinion, for it to grow into this kind of global appeal, we need to promote the storytelling aspect of it and to give context to these characters and what they can become. However, when it comes to Kumite, the whole focus is shifting here from the hero's journey of the character being, in this case, let's say it's Spider-Man, because he's always been my favorite character, where when you see the Spider-Man film, you're on Spider-Man's journey, on his hero's journey. However, to me, Web3 and everything about what we're doing and my co-founder, Scott Donnell, that we're doing at Hero Maker is about bringing the hero's journey to everyone so that everybody could be the hero of their journey. So Kumite is literally about creating characters that are people's literally like their alter ego, you know, who they want to be, you know, and if they identify as an angel or maybe a demon or maybe a fairy or maybe a goblin or steampunk or superhero.
Supervillains.
Yeah. And we even have cosmic supervillains, which are my favorite. So whatever you identify with, you could become that hero. And that's what Kumite, at the real heart of what we're doing, is we've created this world, this epic battle tournament that people could take on the persona of the characters that their NFT is, you know, because that's who they identify with. And then take that, you know, and run with it as we kind of build up all the kind of storytelling and gaming and the metaverse and all that stuff that we'll get to.
It really is so amazing how you touch on the element of lore and how important it is when it comes to not only engaging with community, but keeping them engaged and also bringing them about this journey. And for me, this is why your project, as well as Cyber Brokers and CloneX, are some of my favorite NFT projects, because of this element of not only community activation and initiative, but there's really, really good storytelling in it and a narrative that kind of keeps one, you know, entertained, but also feels like they do have some agency in telling the story as well. It's a shame you kind of gave away your favorite character, but I really was going to ask, you know, what would be your favorite superhero? And it seems like Spider-Man is one of your favorite characters. But with the element of lore and, you know, NFTs, how have you, or can you speak to us of how you specifically found that they have begun to bridge the gap between our imagination and our realities?
Well, the beauty is that what we've been able to do with Kumite is establish a story and a premise and a world first. And when you buy an NFT or acquire one of the characters in the Kumite world, you're making a statement as to what you like and what you're for and what you're interested in. And so for me, it's not about like so much of what I've seen in the NFT space prior, you know, in kind of like, I think this kind of first wave has been this mechanical value creation. Like you're acquiring something because it's rare, or maybe you like the artwork, but the value creation is around the scarcity side of it. And everything about what we're doing with Kumite is about building upon what I call engagement. And you can create a lot of value for yourself through your engagement. And we're going to be creating these kind of tools, digital tools especially, people to be able to take that engagement to a whole other level. So my entire life has been around what I call like the maker world, where people make their own costumes, people make their own toys, people make their own trading cards, their trading card games, their own comic books, their own heroes. And we're going to be creating all of these tools in a digital way so that people can create and build upon the lore that's there. And they're going to make Kumite their own. And that's what's so special about this franchise, is that people are seeing themselves here and then they can contribute. And we're going to keep giving people the tools to contribute. And the one other thing too is, like, you know, when you look at my entire life, I've worked with all the biggest franchises in the world, whether it's Star Wars or Marvel or DC. And so many times franchises like that have told their fan bases, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. And our goal is to do the opposite and say, we want you to do everything. Here you go. Here are the tools. Here's the universe. Here's the characters. Go play and have fun. And we want to encourage that in the biggest way possible.
Absolutely love that, which actually leads me into a segue to our next question for you in regards to now we're seeing a lot of increase in the creator economy. And you did allude to, you guys are creating tools, digital tools, to perhaps make this maker world a little bit easier for the community that is involved. How do you see Kumite with, because there's just so much lore with it, with the time frames, with the past, present, future, all the different types of, I guess, characters within these time frames. How do you see it evolving and unfolding to inspire more of like the community members towards the creator economy with perhaps the respective tools that you guys are building?
There's a lot of elements to what you need to do in order to create engagement and to have people feel like they're a part of it, especially with the Kumite component of it. In addition to the story, it was critical that right from day one, we establish a gaming mechanic to it so that people can feel like they can participate and that it's not just a linear storytell, that they could just contribute on a story level, but that they can actually participate in how it moves forward. And that's why we created the Vortex, which is our epic battle tournament, where all families are going to compete with each other to see who's the head of the metaverse, right? Who's the most powerful in the metaverse. So by adding that gaming mechanic into it, it's going to drive the stories and it's going to drive the engagement. And it's also going to drive people to want to compete as to their family, whether they're in the angels or the demons or the fairies or, you know, or the goblins, that they want to compete with their friends in a community way to defeat the other tribe or family. And so adding that gaming mechanic was critical to that. The other thing is, you know, when you think about what people want to do with these characters, then how do we make it easy for them to do that? So the first natural thing that comes around is the idea of storytelling, just people wanting to write fiction and come up with the lore for their characters. And so we're going to be doing that through like the NFT comics that we're going to create, these what's called webtoons. We're going to create our storyline, but we're going to leave a lot of open plot points so that people can fill in the gaps for that. We don't want people to tell our stories. We want them to tell their stories. So unlike a lot of stories where you want conclusions or you want to know where we're taking it, it's like, no, we're going to show you how we see it. But now here's a lot of open ends for you to take it. And we're going to be creating, we have a meme maker that we have, which is eventually going to turn into where you can not only do a meme of your character, but you could put two characters in there. So you can kind of do a lot of trash talking if you want. We already launched a swap engine so that if you want to swap NFTs into a different family, we're going to be working on, you know, making your own trading cards, making your own 3D. Eventually, we even want to turn over the 3D assets to people that want to create their own games out of it. The whole aspect of what we're doing is leading people to get engaged in the franchise in lots of different ways.
It sounds so amazing, so exciting, and I'm really looking forward to the developments of all these. I did see the swap feature, which is super unique for some of the NFT projects because it kind of, you know, felt like back in the day when you had a really great Pokemon card stack and was able to just relatively, you know, barter or trade. But speaking of, you know, families and the different types of characters here, do we have Hero Maker Studios Kumite holders in the room? And if so, you guys could put up an emoji, get some hearts going, just so we could kind of see all the holders in the spaces. I do see some that already have, you know, their PFP rolling. Cool, cool, cool. And I'm excited because I typically stay away from the villain characters, but my roles were mostly villains. So I'm kind of rocking with that.
So as a follow-up to what you were talking about, Garib, this open narrative between, you know, stakeholders and collectors and the community, that kind of reminds me of a Mad Lib. So when I was a kid, I used to do Mad Libs or, you know, like the fill-in-the-blank storybooks where you can, like, select A, B, C, or D, and then it tells you to turn to a certain page, and the narrative can just go in all different directions, and you're kind of sitting in the captain's seat. And it gives you this ability to read the book over and over and over again, because each time you get a different ending. And what I love about comic books is the characterization. The lore is not permanent, right? And the canon is not permanent. Like Spider-Man has been recast 1,000 different times in graphic novels and in movies. And, you know, there's just this versatility where you can go back and recycle stories and reinvent characters and change their gender and change their location and all that. So going back to Hero Maker Studios and this Kumite project, I want to know if they're intended to be like an insular project where it has its own unique ecosystem and all creation that takes place within it is still kind of gated. So you've talked about, you know, people in the community can do this, they can they can get trading cards, they can make their own trading cards, they can tell their own stories. But with a lot of, you know, corporations, what they do is give you that freedom of movement within boundaries. So the branding, the licensing, you know, the true ownership of community creation is still ultimately owned by that company, right? And I know that Kumite gives IP rights to the NFT holders. So what I'm curious about is, within this ecosystem, are there plans to integrate Kumite into other, like, major branded media? Are there plans for crossover media between Kumite and other projects within Hero Maker Studios? And for the audience, if you're not familiar, what I mean by crossover content is content that bridges one narrative or one world or one universe with another. So, like, The Flash and Supergirl had crossover episodes. DC Legends had crossover episodes with The Flash or with Spider-Man, or there's going to be Marvel and DC Metaverse movies where it's crossover content. So I'm basically asking Garib to kind of explain his perspectives on that in relation to Kumite and Hero Maker.
First of all, huge fan of Mad Libs. You know, that was one of my favorite, you know, fill in a noun, adjective, come up with a crazy story.
So
from a storytelling standpoint, you know, the way we look at the community is there certainly has to be some, like, morality guidelines and things like that we want to do. But the purpose of it is to allow people to explore the creativity. And, you know, to assume that we know where it's going to go would be a big mistake, right? Because a lot of these centralized universes like Spider-Man or anything at Marvel or DC, right? Even though, you know, the characters went in a lot of different directions, it was at their choice. You know, they specifically chose to go in those directions. In this particular case, you know, when you have hundreds, if not thousands of people contributing, or tens of thousands of people contributing, first of all, there's no way to fully control all of that. And secondly is, the fans probably create better stories than we will, right? Because if you have budding authors out there that have incredible stories to tell and they choose to do that through Kumite, you know, we're going to see some pretty extraordinary stuff. Like, I don't know if when Bored Ape came out, you know, that they, right after they came out, did they think that, Snoop Dogg was going to do a food truck or sing on stage with Eminem about his Bored Ape, right? Like, I don't know that that was in their thought process when they thought about, you know, commercial rights. So from our standpoint is we don't want to put limitations on the creativity that people are going to come up with these characters. You know, I kind of joke that, like, you know, we have a very, very strong steampunk community. And, like, I just feel like some comedian is going to buy a steampunk and then just go on Instagram and just tell steampunk jokes. You know, there's just unlimited, you know, potential there. You know, in terms of bridging the narrative, you know, when we created Hero Maker, it was actually created as a universe. There's actually a Hero Maker universe. So we actually have a 100-page Bible on what the world looks like. And we already have about 30 different plus franchises that are established in that universe. And they're all connected in some way, even though they're very, very different. So at some point in time, we will have our Avengers moment where franchises can come together. And quite frankly, again, I don't want to put limitations on where Kumite can go. So if there's another NFT project, you know, much like Marvel and DC would have their crossovers, and all of a sudden, you know, Cool Cats wants to do something with our ninjas, you know, maybe we'll come up with something pretty cool for that crossover. So again, we don't want to put limitations on our thinking of where this can go, because that's the way it's always been. And we just don't want to do what's always been. We want to do with what the potential of the future is by unlocking this global community and global creativity. And then the last part of the question was about the growth in other media. When you look at the seed of a comic book and what that does, and how you can take a storyline from a comic book and turn it into a film and a video game franchise and a toy franchise, those takes years to do, but there's actually a pattern to it. And there's a way to go about that growth. And that's what we're doing. So after the Kumite tournament that we're doing, where this epic battle of the fights, we go straight into our webtoons, where we're going to be telling weekly stories of the franchises and what's going on and what's happening and all the kind of backstabbing that's going on and all the, you know, all the infighting that's happening and what the future is. And we can tell those stories. And that's something that we can, that we're already talking to film and television producers about. Okay, let's turn that into a Netflix series. And so we're going into it with the idea of, how do we take the kernel of what we do in the comic books and this and the webtoons and turn that into a global film or television franchise? We're actually working on a trading card game. And the trading card game mechanics emulate some of the mechanics that are very popular in video games. So when we do the trading card game, it takes advantage of the mechanisms that we've built into the tournament so that when we do the game, it has this familiar feel to it, and eventually it can be turned into a video game. So everything about what we're doing very methodically is going to be able to turn Kumite into a global franchise that everybody feels like they have a stake in its success.
That's a great answer. Yeah. I love how New Yorkers say tournament also. It's turn. I'm a Texan. I can't do it. It's tournament, right?
Yes. Tournament.
Tournament. I'm not going to be able to do it.
Yeah. I'm from New York. So I have a tough time saying water. You know, that's kind of the word I get made fun of the most.
Yeah, I got you. Water. We have a Southern way of saying it.
So, Garib, I know that you were kind of giving us the explanation, all the future potential elements for Kumite and the community to build off of with the lore and the narratives that are going by. But for some of our listeners who may not be completely familiar with Kumite and what the story is, especially with the battle that's coming on soon, can you give us a brief rundown of the Kumite ecosystem? And also, what are you most excited for when it comes to Kumite?
The base story for Kumite is this epic battle that takes place 30 years in the future. You have these corporations today that have been developing AI. And through this AI, you know, so let's say it's a company that's been working on, you know, energy and environmental issues. And through the AI, they've been weighing the positives and the negatives, which ultimately is the hero and the villain. And then what happens is the chancellor kind of unlocks this satellite, which brings all of these mega corporations and their AI on board. And these heroes and villains manifest into these characters. And when you're talking about, you know, the Earth, climate, you know, that manifests into some Earth heroes and villains like fairies and goblins. And all these mega corporations have been working on different types of things, which lead to whether it's steampunks or superheroes and villains. And then the Chancellor unlocks all of that, brings it together, and then decides to have this tournament where they're all competing against each other. And that's the base tournament that we created so that we have this evergreen, everlasting concept that we can keep adding families, or we can keep having tournaments, and we could keep creating tools for people to up-level their characters or increase the visibility of their families in here. So we created a story that can go in lots of different directions. The thing that's most exciting to me about creating this world is the idea that what we were talking about earlier, where we don't know where it's going to go. We just know that when you have thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands, even into the millions of people participating in it, you just don't know where it's going to take you. And that's the fun and exciting part of it. And I can't think of another thing that's been able to do that, you know, in recent history or ever, because it's uniquely created through Web3 and Web3 enabled. And therein lies the power of Web3 and NFTs and unlocking the power of a community in a global way. And for me, to see where this goes and all the opportunities that are going to arrive out of it, not just for us, but for the fans to benefit from the success that they can create. And also, people want to be heroes in their world. And we want to give people everything they can to become the hero. And this is not just a, hey, we're going to buy a character in this universe. It's, I want to create an opportunity for people to invest themselves in this because they see themselves in this world.
I'd say people want to be villains also, and vigilantes too, and things that I can't do in real life or things a person can't do in real life, perhaps they can do in lore through their character, whether it be ethical, unethical, moral, immoral, psychologically healthy or unhealthy, I guess ideating. You know, it's like the holodeck in Star Trek, ideating your fantasies and the darker parts of your character. Yep. Is also a good thing.
You're spot on with that. Like, we were literally at the birth of cosplay. It wasn't even called cosplay. It was called costume contests. Back in the early, mid-90s when we had these, there was no internet back then. So we would just encourage people to dress up in costume, and then we'd show their pictures in the magazine. And then the magazines were all over the world. So people were like freaking out that this was what was going on, you know, at these Comic-Con events. And I used to talk to so many people getting dressed up, and they were very private people. But yet you talk to them and they were doctors, they were lawyers, they were accountants, they were school teachers, but they couldn't be those characters in their real life for fear of being made fun of. And they would go to these shows, they'd get dressed up, they'd put a mask on, and everybody would want to take their pictures. They came out of their shell in a way that you could never do. And cut to today, you know, it's one of the reasons why cosplay has become so globally popular. It's because people can be who they want to be behind that mask or in that costume that they can't be necessarily in their real life. Or maybe it's an extension or an exaggeration of who they are in their real life. And we want to capture that through Kumite. That's why we have the diversity of characters. And also, by the way, half the collection is a female characters too. We didn't just go into this and say, okay, these are all just male heroes or male villains. You know, we wanted to represent an incredible spectrum of everybody out there.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. And there's also the flexibility for holders to like define the gender or even make their characters non-binary if they wanted to. So I want to ask you one quick thing before Alyssa hops in. So in Kumite, are there any elements of the original narrative from Bloodsport within the origin story?
No, it was just, the title was just inspiring. I grew up as a kid. I loved mixed martial arts, and I took karate as a kid, and Jean-Claude Van Damme was, you know, in these kind of great movies growing up. And in the movie Bloodsport, which came out in the late 80s, it was just, you know, one of my favorite films. There was a fight tournament there called the Kumite. And, you know, so for me, it was just, I always loved the idea of these different styles coming together to fight in one place. That's actually what got me into the mixed martial arts world. I was actually a professional MMA promoter for many years. So I love the idea of different styles competing against one another to see who's the most superior. So a lot of the inspiration for Kumite came from me literally having over 100 different fighters under contract. I produced hundreds of fights with every different discipline, from jiu-jitsu to karate to kickboxing to wrestling to, you know, MMA is kind of this merging of all of these styles. And, you know, so a lot of the inspiration came from the idea of mixing my history in superheroes and my history in mixed martial arts. I always like to read these things that people write before they pass and talk about what they wish they did. And, you know, I just don't want to be that person that lives with a regret that I should have done something at the time, or that I've had limitations in my life. You know, people, given their circumstance, obviously have limitations, but there's no limitations to how great your mind can imagine and grow. I think for a lot of people that may not have the circumstance to be able to act upon that, my goal is to provide whatever resources I can and whatever access I can to give people the opportunities that I've been able and blessed to have in my life.
Yeah, that's really powerful and a beautiful sentiment, because what I have found, like reading through some of your interviews and what I admire a lot about you, is that, you know, over the years, it seems like you have been able to really adapt into new paradigms when it comes to the media or content, or, you know, the way that Comic-Con even just started. So, and I've been following you around in Kumite for a while now, but and it seems the receptivity for Kumite has been really great now that you've ventured into Web3. But can you speak to us if you've had any resistance? Because I know sometimes some traditional gamers or traditional media outlets, when they see perhaps people that have been more in the Web2 ethos kind of now converge into Web3 or translate themselves into Web3, they get a little bit of backlash. But has that been your experience at all, or have you had tremendous support all around?
Fortunately, I've had a lot of success in being able to reach out to people. Fortunately, I have a lot of friends like myself that have also made the plunge, you know, into Web3 and NFT space, you know, that we've been friends for a long time. But I think also because of my history, you know, in the Comic-Con world and in the superhero world and with Wizard, I have found that so many people in this community grew up reading Wizard magazine, or they've been to Comic-Con, or they are superhero fans. So I found it nothing but embracing of it. And I think very welcoming, because people feel like I can have a real impact, because I've been able to have a real impact in so many industries, and also at the birth of other industries, not just taking advantage of something that was already created. But, you know, I've been there at the earliest onset of world creation. So, you know, not just, you know, kind of the modern day comic book world, but also when Magic the Gathering started, I immediately started a magazine about that. And, you know, so we were there at the birth of trading card games. And then when independent action figures started coming out, we created a figure magazine that got so popular that it made it easy for independent toy companies to emerge. And we were there with the wave of all the Japanese animation and anime properties coming in. So that part of it has been really welcoming. And you're going to laugh. I don't know if it's funny, but you know, a lot of the resistance that I've gotten is actually from the comic book community, you know, kind of the core community that I came from. The NFT community is very embracing, but their core communities that they came from are not embracing. Where I'll talk to a lot of artists or writers from the comic book world, and I'll be talking to them about what I want to do, and they start going into this idea of, you know, NFTs and the crypto, all the energy consumption and all this other stuff. And my retort and my counter them is, I used to buy 6 million pounds of paper a year to print magazines and comic books. And you know how many forests I cut down and trains that I filled
it's
up
like
with
people
logs?
Forget.
Yeah. And then the printing presses that had to run and the trucks that had to move the magazines to stores. And you had to drive a car to a store to pick up one magazine at a time. It's like, you know, think about the energy and the time, you know, that it took to do that. Like now with NFTs, you know, everybody's trying to be as either energy efficient or offset energy or alternative energies. You know, everybody's very conscious of it these days, But, you know, my God, the amount of energy that I used to consume is off the charts.
Yeah, that's funny. It's the convenience of ideology and maximalism, isn't it?
Yeah. And I tell people all the time, I'm like, look, this is the future. You know, it's as clear as day that this is where it's going to go, at least to me. So you might as well just figure out how to embrace it. And maybe if you have those issues, how do you embrace those issues and bring them into this world as well? But nothing is going to get in the way of technology.
Exactly.
And it's going to happen. So you might as well figure out how to
best embrace it
in a way. Yeah, that makes it in a way that you can embrace and your friends can embrace.
Yeah, I guess to go down a very quick rabbit hole, I also have found that a lot of, you know, like comic book people, advocates and whatnot, they do not like NFTs at all for a variety of reasons. I think it just kind of boils down to sentimentalism, dedication to a certain narrative, and loving what you know and not wanting to see it like diluted or meddled with. So I think
or
that's
change.
Kind of what
it,
you're 100% right. You know,
like, so many of the big Hollywood movies have completely destroyed some of the original characterizations of our comic book heroes. So I guess we just build up. I mean, but we're territorial. Bitcoiners are territorial. NFT people are relatively open, but they're territorial about celebrities and, you know, big projects and corporations coming in and attempting to do drops. And I guess comic book lovers are the same way. Like, they were in a niche, they were outcast, they were disenfranchised. So you kind of build up this hackly, prickly like resistance to outsiders, especially as you get older. So I'm sure that's just what the dynamic is.
Yeah, you know, I've seen this trend so many times, right? Like, so in the early days of comic books, people were looking for that third party validation, right? So every time some celebrity would be caught, Nicolas Cage, Shaq, Jerry Seinfeld, like
not Nicolas Cage.
Well, he was a big comic book fan. He had a pretty big comic collection. But the comic industry was always looking for that third party validation. That Anthony Hopkins just bought some NFTs, right? And Reese Witherspoon came in, and Snoop Dogg, and Eminem, right? And Justin Timberlake, right? So all these amazing people, you know, are starting to get in on the NFT world. You know, but then once it gets taken over by the world, you're going to start seeing how this community is going to say, oh, you know, it's not our world anymore, right? It's been taken over. But yet that was the validation that they wanted. So everything like this winds up in cycles. And we're going to see that cycle happen here. And so many new communities are going to emerge. And, you know, the creativity is just extraordinary. And then because people are not tied to these centralized organizations and they have enough capital to create on their own, we're going to see creativity, and we're already seeing it in ways that you would never see otherwise.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's wise to just keep an open mind to all things. Okay, so another question. Rarity, originality, and uniqueness have historically played a pretty big part in comic book culture. And the same could be said for NFTs and other digital collectibles. So speak to me about your views on rarity and the tournament regarding Kumite. Here's what I'm curious about. If I die in the tournament, is it like a street race where I have to give over the title and the pink slip to my car? Or does my player get destroyed and say, like, the NFT is sent to a burn address? If Freddy Krueger kills you in your dreams, you die in real life, right?
Yeah, so the way the tournament works is that there is no dying. Unlike a March Madness where you're eliminated, in our tournament, you're not. You're vying for spots in the ecosystem. What happens is after the tournament, all the NFTs go into what's called training mode. And then we're working on building a sparring engine so that you can spar against other NFTs to keep up leveling your character. So there is no dying. It's actually, you have an opportunity to up level your character and engage. And, you know, going back to rarity, you know, so many people have put so much emphasis and value on the rarity and not the engagement. And I think you're going to start seeing a lot of that start shifting in the NFT space, where engagement will have a much greater impact on your value than the scarcity or rarity of your NFT. And that's what's going to happen, right? So the more you tell stories, or the more you up-level your character, or the more you do with it on Instagram, or the more you kind of set up your battle friends And the more you create, the more value you're going to create for yourself, right? Like Spider-Man is only one of thousands of characters in the Marvel Universe. Was Spider-Man more rare than any of the others? No, but they decided to tell great stories with that. The other example that I've talked about is like Snoop Dogg. His Bored Ape, if you just look at the value of it based on its rarity, maybe it's a few hundred thousand dollars, but he built a food truck and he's singing songs with Eminem. Is his NFT only worth the rarity value, or is it worth the engagement on top of it? We're going to start seeing that shift in this space where engagement is going to create value. And I think we're going to be on the forefront of that engagement cycle.
That's alpha. Yeah, I'm impressed with that. It's not about what's in your wallet. You're saying we're going to transition to more about what you do with what's in your wallet. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it has to go there. It just has to, because, you know, how are you going to differentiate from 10,000 of characters that look very similar, right? It's hard to do. You know, it actually goes back to what you were talking about earlier about the art in Kumite. And we purposely did 2D art because I've been in the kind of the art world, right, through comic books my entire life, just as a fan, as a collector, as creating comics, working with thousands of artists. And I find 3D art, even though I find it so compelling and so gorgeous to look at, it's hard for your mind to remember the details because there's so many of them. And that when you look at why, even today, whether it's animation or comic books, you know, why you can build franchises easier. First of all, it's a lot less expensive, but you can build them easier in 2D because your mind can capture so many more details on that. So we're trying to be very thoughtful about it.
No, I agree with you. It's for us boomers. There's something about like Studio Ghibli and Miyazaki where you can see the pencil lines and the actual, you know, it was like panel by panel animation. There's something about that that really allows you to escape and immerse yourself into the narrative and detach yourself from the here and now, which is super real all the time. So I agree. I agree.
Look at the greatest cartoons of all time, whether it's the Simpsons or South Park or, you know, Family Guy. I mean, these are not 3D rendered. Now, there are a lot of great 3D rendered, you know, animated things, whether it's Toy Story and things like that. But the ones that have really stood the test of time are the most simplistic in nature.
Yeah, I agree.
When you speak about the leveling up of the characters, how will that be displayed for the NFTs? Is there going to be like a badge that goes with them? Like, how am I as someone, let's say I want to get a character that's a little bit more leveled up than mine. How would that be displayed?
Well, what'll happen is we're doing something, what I call mass customization. And we have a very unique opportunity here where we can target very specific things to very specific people. So like in my life, we've done a lot of different limited edition collectibles. Could be 100 of a comic book. It could be 1,000 of a toy. It could be 10,000 of something, but it's all the same. Or maybe there's a different paint variant, but it's basically the exact same item. You know, what we're going to be able to do is because we know the NFT and we know the wallet, we may not know that it's you particularly, but we can create unique assets that get delivered directly to the characters. So for us, it's about kind of building this collection of assets that we can deliver to people. And then also as we do the sparring engine and things like that, there's obviously the blockchain. So we're going to be able to keep the provenance of all the characters and their history. So all throughout, we're going to be able to tell you how successful, you know, your character has been in these battles. And then ultimately, when we get into the blockchain game and we do the trading card game and things like that, that's really where those elements are going to really be able to take effect.
It all sounds incredibly exciting. And I'm really looking forward to the developments of Kumite. And I feel like I need to now snag more characters just so I have a list of, you know, witches and fairies and everything, just because, you know, I'm not really sure if I want to be a supervillain just yet. But I feel like it's kind of fun because, like I said earlier, I don't really play that part usually. But Gareb, thank you so much for coming on. And I just want to open up the floor for you if you have any last minute things you want to share.
First of all, I want to thank you guys. This was so much fun to talk about Web3, superheroes, Comic-Con, just literally this whole world is just so much fun. I don't want to escape the fact that we're doing this because we want to create a lot of fun out there. And we really want to push the envelope on what can be done and what could be done with it. And we're also creating a roadmap here that's very realistic, but that also has no gaps in it. So we're going right into the tournament, and then we're going right into the webcomics, which are going to be ongoing. And then we're working on a trading card game and trading cards and these unique mass collectibles. And just we're going to keep delivering incredible value to people over time. And the more they contribute, the more we're going to be able to support. It's just so much fun to do that. And by the way, you're not alone. You know, we actually have a high average of people that have a high average number of NFTs of Kumite. They just keep picking them up. You know, it's kind of funny. I had a conversation with someone last night about the collection. And while I was on the phone with him, he actually bought one. And then I woke up to a text with him this morning and he's like, I couldn't stop. I bought 20 of them. And it's like, it's just so funny and exciting to me that once people get into the world that we've created, you know, that they want to be so much more of a bigger part of it. So that's all really exciting. And we just love that we actually don't know where it's all going to go.
That's definitely one of the more exciting elements. And I know for me yesterday, I was kind of sifting through and I'm just like, the traits are so unique and there's so much that I would want to play around with and grab. And especially as a card collector, I'm excited for that to unfold.
I agree with the level of excitement that comes from perusing through a collection and not knowing where the roadmap will take you and when the community is a stakeholder in that roadmap. And from my view, a lot of NFT collections are just paper and dream projects. And what excites me is to hear about just Hero Maker Studios in general and, you know, your vision for how to allow community to kind of transcend the label of cash grabs and paper and dream projects. If I had all day to ask you more questions, I'd then ask you for Kumite, are there plans for there to be guilds and teams? Because I know YGG and Axie and Blackpool, and there's like professional gaming, blockchain gaming and play to earn gaming guilds and teams. So I wonder if that's something that will coalesce around Hero Maker Studios and Kumite.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to know, where can I get that Kumite shirt? The one that you guys were wearing in New York for the NFT NYC, the Kumite Will You Survive shirt.
Yeah, we're going to make the t-shirts available. We're actually working on getting that live actually very soon. We're working on some really cool merchandise. And so we'll let the whole community know. And then as it turns out with the guilds, Gabby Dizon, who's the CEO and founder of YGG, is actually an investor in our company and a friend and advisor to us. So there's 100% the guilds are going to be created. They're already being created. I just joined some steampunk community on Instagram yesterday. So, and then there's a goblin community that's starting. And I've also been trash talking the goblins because I think my fairies and my witches are going to destroy the goblins in the tournament. And I think the steampunk crew is a little full of themselves. So we got to challenge them a little bit. So we're having a lot of fun, you know, kind of setting the stage, you know, for this, not only for this tournament going forward, but just all the conflicts moving into the future.
Yes, it's been absolutely so fun. And I know the other day I tweeted about the supervillains, getting some supervillains together. And for those of you who don't know, please check out the Kumite Discord, because if you do have characters, I'm sure that there's different channels for the characters to settle in and probably scheme against each other just as well. But I am so happy, Gareb, that you came today to speak with us at NFT Stees. I'm Alyssa, and my co-host is Ray, and this is NFT Stees. Thank you so much, everyone, Gareb, Kumite, all of our listeners.
Thank you. So much fun to be here today.
Thanks for your time.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.